Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
God, why did you do this to me? Like, I hate this business. I hate everything about this business. And that was the night that I tell people, I quit on my business. And I quit on him.
Everybody has a story. And everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope,
and power.
And
power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I are
a part of it.
We are not.
We're not
the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. If God is leading us, shouldn't things be easy? Christina Moffitt loves to bake and people love to eat what she makes. And following God's lead, she had taken a giant leap of faith. She left her safe, secure job and started a cupcake business. If you heard last week's episode of Epic, you know the wild ride that creme cupcakes became. Christina never dreamed it would be so successful, especially so quickly. She also had no idea how hard life would become. If God is in it, why would it be this challenging? This is chapter 34 of Epic, Christina Moffitt's story.
And so I walked into work, and it's Christmas time, and I turned in my notice, and they were like, wait a minute, what? You're gonna leave here to go do what? And they had no idea what big business had unfolded behind me in this whole process. So I left and started this kind of whole crazy journey in 2011 as becoming an entrepreneur. Like, God just literally opened and put me where I was supposed to be.
Were you an entrepreneurial person before?
No.
So interesting.
No. I mean, I had always been kind of open to the idea. I think as a child, you know, the lemonade stands and,
sure. You
know, selling stickers was our big thing and trading them out. And so I think I kind of had that mindset, but stability, right? It was always told, go to college and get a good job. And so that's what I did. And so walking into the kitchen the first day, I walked in there and, you know, I'm so excited. And then I looked around and I cried. I was like, what did I just do? Like, I left my paycheck. There's nobody in here to tell me, like, who to hire, what to bake. There's no, like, tech team to set up my computer. There's no marketing documents. Like, what did I just do? And I was like, okay, God, I think I've listened to you as long as I'm supposed to, like, help me through this process.
And he did, amazingly. You know how you hear the stories of how difficult it is for a new business to succeed, just to finally get to a place where you turn a profit. Well, in Christina's case, it turned out to be a flat-out race just to try to keep up with all of the business that came her way. She hired her first employee, who happened to be her biggest cheerleader, her mom, and her business grew by leaps and bounds. And before she knew it, an opportunity was in her lap to open up her own shop in an established neighborhood. It just seemed like God had lined it all up. But first, she had to get a loan.
So I went and I talked to him, and sure enough, he pulls in the president of the bank, and he's like, I really think you need to hear this project. And the president of the bank said, oh my gosh, I know exactly what you're trying to do. I went to something very similar in St. Louis. Like, this is amazing. Let's see if we can make it work. They got that loan through and just believed in me. And sure enough, I was like, how do I design this space? And I went right back to my architecture firm friends, and I said, hey, I don't have a lot of cash to get this done. And so the space is literally kind of a labor of love by people who I worked with, who surrounded me and helped create that space. It's just beautiful when you walk in there. So it took us 3 months to get the space up and running. So we finally, we're into 2012. We built out the space. We opened on August 3rd. And it was amazing and god-awful at the same time. Like, we didn't know how to guess numbers. And so we ran out of product. Like, our air conditioning quit working because
this
space was not designed for that originally. And then our computer systems, nobody knew and kept crashing. And so I was just, like, shaking uncontrollably. Like, now I'm responsible for all these employees and customers. And I just couldn't help the feeling of being sick. Like, we were starting to get the numbers down and things like that, but every day I drive to work and I felt sick to my stomach. I was just, like, shaking uncontrollably. And I'm working, like, 12-hour days, and I just, every day, I was just like, what did I do? I just, like, physically, I'm just like,
what did I get myself into?
Oh my gosh, I heart palpitations. And 3 weeks into the process of having this shop open, I found out I was 3 months pregnant. with baby number one. I didn't know I was pregnant because I had been told it would be very hard for me to have children. And so my mom, I was like, what am I going to do? Like, this is, I can't, forget it. Like, the business is done. I can't do both. My mom said, you know what? This is how it was supposed to happen. You weren't supposed to find out till now because God knows you wouldn't have signed on the lease. You wouldn't have signed on the loan. You wouldn't have signed on the lease. And so my mom was like, okay, like, you can't be here 12 hours a day. Like, figure out who your managers are. Get some management structure in place. Tell us what to do. The team is here. So we got it figured out. Kept cranking forward. We're a month in, you know, by September, we're finally getting things kind of figured out. And September 27th came around. It had been an awesome day. We're cranking away. My mom was finishing some production, and I was actually leaving to go tell my best friends that I was expecting. Left the creme that night and went to see my friends, and my phone just started ringing like crazy with numbers I didn't know. And finally, I was like, something's really wrong. Like, these people are not giving up. And it was a different number almost every time. So I answer it, and they said, your mom is unconscious. She has collapsed at home. It was my mom's neighbor. And my mom had worked a full day that day and gone home and was preparing dinner for my dad and just turned around and fell to the ground unconscious. And they said, you need to get to the hospital quick. She's being taken by ambulance and they don't know what's wrong. And so I get to the hospital, and all I can think of is, this is my fault. This is my fault. Like, if she wouldn't have left her job, she wouldn't be sick. If she wouldn't have worked a hard day, she wouldn't be sick. Like, how am I supposed to continue on? Like, God, why did you do this to me? Like, I hate this business. I hate everything about this business. And that was the night that I tell people, I quit on my business. And I quit on him because I felt like this is all his fault. Like, you planted these things in the way and look what happened. And I followed them and look what you did to me. And it was a mess. And they finally figured out by the next day that she had actually suffered a massive stroke. And so for the first time I saw my mom and she came to, she had no idea who I was. And I just thought, I can't face this right now. I can't do this. And so she continued on at Mercy. She was on the neurology floor. They were trying to get her stabilized because one day she would remember everything and the next day she would have no idea who any of us were. And so I was sitting there with her one day, you know, basically had given up on the shop, and my team really kept that shop going. They just said, don't come in here. Like, it's too emotional. They would hand me bills to be paid out the back door. You know, just take care of her because they were hurting just as bad as I was. Sure. She was their mama. We called her Mama Creme. So they were all hurting just as bad. And sitting there with her one day, like, staring at these bills, thinking, I don't care anymore. I just don't care. This is over. And my phone rings, and I thought it was my sister calling from California, and I answered it. Come to find out, this lady says, hi, I'm with the Food Network. I'm just calling to chat about Cupcake Wars.
Of all times, the timing. Oh, my goodness. What?
Yeah, and I said, let me tell you what I really think about cupcakes right now. And I have no idea how this lady hung with me. And I was like, I just, cupcakes are in people's lives. And my mom's sick and she had a stroke. And if she wouldn't have worked with me, this wouldn't happen. Just on and on about how awful things are. And so she proceeds to say, well, just let me know what you think about it. We got a couple of days.
So for background for people who don't know what Cupcake Wars is, you obviously knew.
Yeah. So it is a one of the highest-ranking shows on Food Network. It's been on for multiple years. This was season 8 when they called us. But it is a 4-person team. Nobody from Iowa had ever been called to go on the show. And they had actually been following us for a while, we found out, because they had called us, kind of emailed us, checking in on us at our last location. But I said, hey, we're not interested. We're way too small. I can't leave my shop. And this was pretty quick after opening. They said, hey, we know you have a bigger shop and we wanted to get a hold of you. And so basically 4 teams compete down to 1 position. It all takes place in 1 show, but it's pretty intense. By the last round, you have to bake 1,000 cupcakes in 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So, of course, I'm going to tell her what I think about cupcakes because I've already done 1,000 and it doesn't take 2 hours and there's no way. So I kind of hung up and I was just like, well, whatever. And I walk back in the room and my little sister looks at me and she says, well, who was that? Because I'm pretty chill. And I said, oh, it's just a lady from Food Network wanting me to go on Cupcake Wars. And she was like, get on the plane. And I said, no, I'm not leaving Mom. And she's like, imagine how much worse this is going to be if Mom wakes up and finds out you didn't go.
For Christina Moffitt, the walk of faith continued. Her mom's illness seemed like a clear reason to walk away from the business. But at the same time, she was experiencing incredible favor. And God seemed to be saying, just trust me, because I know what I'm doing. The conclusion of Christina's story is coming up on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. If you are enjoying today's show, you can catch the podcast of this and other episodes of Epic on our website, myfaithradio.com. An easy way to listen to Epic is through the Faith Radio app. You can listen to the live stream, access shows you missed, read the newest articles, and more when you download our free app. And we believe everybody has a chapter in God's great big story. We would love to hear yours on our website, myfaithradio.com. Today, we're hearing Christina Moffitt's story. She had left a safe, secure career and took a leap of faith. She had followed where she believed God was leading her and started a cupcake business. It turned out to be incredibly successful, but it appeared that success had come with a very high price. Her mother, her biggest fan and number one employee, had a massive stroke and was in the hospital. And Christina was questioning whether she had heard God at all. Here's the conclusion to her story.
Sitting there with her one day, like staring at these bills, thinking, I don't care anymore. I just don't care. This is over. And my phone rings, and I thought it was my sister calling from California, and I answered it. Come to find out, this lady says, hi, I'm with the Food Network. I'm just calling to chat about Cupcake Wars. Yeah, and I said, let me tell you what I really think about cupcakes right now. And I have no idea how this lady hung with me. And I was like, I just, cupcakes are in people's lives. And my mom's sick and she had a stroke. And if she wouldn't have worked with me, this wouldn't happen. Just on and on about how awful things are. And so she proceeds to say, well, just let me know what you think about it. We got a couple of days.
So for background for people who don't know what Cupcake Wars is, you obviously knew.
Yeah. So it is a one of the highest ranking shows on Food Network. It's been on for multiple years. This was season 8 when they called us. But it is a 4-person team. Nobody from Iowa had ever been called to go on the show. And they had actually been following us for a while, we found out, because they had called us, kind of emailed us, checking in on us at our last location. But I said, hey, we're not interested. We're way too small. I can't leave my shop. And this was pretty quick after opening. They said, hey, we know you have a bigger shop and we wanted to get a hold of you. And so basically 4 teams compete down to 1 position. It all takes place in 1 show, but it's pretty intense. So by the last round, you have to bake 1,000 cupcakes in 2 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
So, of course, I'm going to tell her what I think about cupcakes because I've already done 1,000 and it doesn't take 2 hours and there's no way. So I kind of hung up and I was just like, well, whatever. And I walk back in the room and my little sister looks at me and she says, well, who was that? Because I'm pretty chill. And I said, oh, it's just a lady from Food Network wanting me to go on Cupcake Wars. And she was like, get on the plane. And I said, no, I'm not leaving Mom. And she's like, imagine how much worse this is going to be if Mom wakes up and finds out you didn't go. And that threat was legit. I thought, what if she does wake up and find out I didn't go? Like, I'm going to be worse off. And so I left. I got on the plane and I went, not knowing, like, what I would come back to. And out on the show, we're on season 8, episode 13. On the show, everything traces back to an 80s theme, which I was a child of the 80s, and it was all stuff that my mom made when I was growing up.
Oh, boy.
So there's an underlying current to that show and a lot of crying that they didn't show on the actual show of what was going on. Not only was I pregnant, but I'm dealing with leaving my mom. So spoiler alert, we got second on the show, which was amazing because nobody from Iowa had been on the show. And we actually ended up competing against another team from Iowa who I knew. So it was just an amazing experience. But when I got back on the plane to come home, I kept thinking, like, God, what is the reasoning behind all of this? Like, why am I here? Why is this happening? And it was the first time I felt my baby move. And it was kind of like, I am here. And there is a reason behind all this, and you're going to find out. And so I flew back home, and sure enough, I got off the plane and turned my ringer on my phone, and there was a message on my phone. And it was from the Iowa Small Business Development Center, who had kind of guided me in starting my business. And they said, hey, we've actually selected you as the Female Entrepreneur of the Year for the entire state of Iowa. And I was like, okay, God, I got you loud and clear. Like, I am now put here to represent female businesses in Iowa, and I represent Iowa on a national scale. Like, this is beyond cupcakes now. Mm-hmm. This is beyond what I'm supposed to be doing. This is life happening, and I'm supposed to be sharing this. And I'm listening. Like, tell me what I'm supposed to be doing. And I thought, okay, all right, this is supposed to happen. So I get back, and I tell my mom, and she's kind of coming too, and we were able to transfer her to outpatient. She's doing a lot better. And then sure enough, like, rolls around, and we're moving forward, and my main pastry chef, who actually went on the show with me, came to me, and I am 9 months pregnant this time, and said, hey, I have to go. I have a family emergency, and I don't know if I'll be back or when I'll be back, but I've got to go. And I'm thinking, who am I to tell her no? Like, I can't tell her no. And so she left, and I just prayed and cried a lot. I thought, I'm going to have this baby in this kitchen. I'm going to have this baby in this kitchen. Like, this is how it's supposed to happen. And I don't know, but it'll all be taken care of. And my girlfriend sent a chef that was touring back. He needed a 3-month stint. And he came to me and said, hey, I can fill in for 3 months. He came on Friday, and I went to labor on Sunday. And I just thought, again, like, this is a God thing. Like, I you can't put a call out for somebody to come help you and get somebody hired in 3 days. It just doesn't even happen. Mm-mm. Especially on a short-term stint, because if she was going to come back or I was going to come back, we wouldn't have a full-time position. And so I went out, and I ended up having a baby boy who was just amazing, pure blessing, and just tremendously blessed by him. And now I'm a mom, you know. I'm a mom. I wake up, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I felt a little bit like a mom because the business was my baby.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still trying to help my mom heal from her stroke, and now I have this baby. And my team literally just kept things going. You know, it was like I had come back. I was ready to be back in the mode, but here I am out again. Like, who's going to stand by a boss like this is what I kept thinking. Because I'm thinking I'm crazy right now myself. Mm-hmm. And so Evan came, and he was great. And that was in April. Well, fast forward to June, it's finally when our show aired. So we had kept the secrets from Iowa and from everybody we knew from the fall until June.
Oh, my goodness. That had to have been very hard.
It was very hard. And finally, it airs in June. And again, we couldn't even tell anybody what happens on the show. Well, once you're on that show, it's actually a national, and it's now an international show. So we got emails from everywhere, and people do these Food Network tours where they come to a city and they tour everything that's been on the Food Network. And so we just exploded again overnight. And
how long has the business been open at that point?
At this point, we had not even been in that new location a year yet.
Incredible.
Yeah. So in that year, it was just like, found out I was pregnant, mom stroke, we recorded Cupcake Wars, like, came back, Cupcake Wars aired. You know, it was just absolutely insane. And I thought, okay, like, this is the end of June. We had this major influx, and we're trying to keep up again. And I'm trying to juggle, like, being a new mom and all that responsibility, because I thought you just strap this baby on and go back to work. And that's not what happens at all.
Yeah.
And so we kept up. And then August 3rd rolled around, and this was literally 1 year since we had opened the business. And I just, like, shut my office door, and I just, like, cried. I was like, how did we even make it here? Mm-hmm. And on that very day, I received another award by a women's networking group in Des Moines who I was not tied to. They awarded me their Female Entrepreneur of the Year, and that award meant so much to me because they called and they said, well, we know you went to California and you appeared and you represented female businesses and you were on television. And I thought, they have no idea what I just lived through personally. It was all the outward-facing stuff that people could see. But to me, the award meant so much because I knew it was a sign from God. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, hey, it's exactly a year since you opened your doors. You've listened. I'm here. And this is what I'm telling you. And that award, to me, still to this day, is because it hit on that day. It was literally God telling me that I did what I was supposed to do. And so when that award ceremony came around, I took my mom. And it was the first time she'd ever heard what happened the entire year, because she had short-term memory loss. She didn't remember any of it. And so it was the first time she sat through and she just sobbed, you know, of me feeling torn, because what we then found out later on after her stroke is that my mom actually had a very large aneurysm that, had it have burst, would have been fatal for her. And so the stroke was the silver lining that they found the aneurysm. And her only side effect from the stroke was short-term memory. She could have had such worse, like rehabilitation and blindness and, you know, kind of loss of mobility. And she didn't have any of it, none
amazing,
of it.
Amazing.
And they didn't even know how she survived the stroke, because it had hit in the middle of her brain, which is very unusual. And so for her, she never felt, you know, that I should feel responsible for it, because it really saved her life in the end. And so my mom, a lot of people ask, she did not come back to work. She has, like, sometimes stopped in and helped in some of our parties we have. But she's still my biggest cheerleader today. And especially being, you know, a mom and caring for a son and everything that goes along with it, she realizes how hard it is, mm-hmm. you know, to have all of that. So I tell people, fast forward, because that was all just in 1 year. And people ask, you know, well, what are you doing today? And I said, as Evan aged, I felt so called to give back to this community in holding us through that first year, because we really should have gone down in flames. We should not have survived that first year. And you hear this happens to businesses all the time,
sure.
right? But it was really the community and my staff and my mentors that came in and held us together that I said, it is my duty now to always pay it forward. And so now, God pushed me to come out and tell my story, which stretches me. I have no background in public speaking. And I remember the first time I was asked to share it, I was like, I can't do this. Like, stop pushing me. Stop pushing me to do things I don't want to do anymore. And it was like, I have to tell this. This is all Him. And, you know, it really needs to lie with Him. And so I kind of stepped up and said, this is what happened to me. And in doing so, I had so many female entrepreneurs, or people who wanted to be female entrepreneurs, come out of the woodwork asking me for help. And so now I actually do small business counseling with a nonprofit here in Des Moines. And I have a general manager that helps me at the store, because God has continued to push me and say, I put you here on this earth for more than cupcakes. I put you here to be an example, and now to actually help others do the same. And in doing that, I know that life always is happening in the background. And that's one thing I can tell people. I mean, even this year, it just doesn't, life doesn't stop. And so when God calls us to do something, life's going to continue to happen, and you can make every excuse you want to, but He's going to make you do it no matter what. The timing may not be perfect and things may not be pretty, but He's going to make you do what you're meant to do in this world.
And when you cooperate with that, and when you do what He's called you to do, what do you find? What's the result in your life?
You know, the results are amazing for me, because I feel like if I would have just stayed in that small little niche of just me and my mom, and my mom would have gone out, the business would have gone under, you know. And it, even today, it's allowed me freedom to, you know, be out and telling my story and helping this community, because ultimately, you know, I feel like I was put on this earth to make a community better than I found it. And having a son now, I want to make this a great place for him,
mm-hmm.
and what he does. And I think of how great, you know, the world would be if everybody did what they were called to do.
Yeah. Willing to be stretched.
Right.
Yeah. Any advice to people who are walking through life and they feel like God might be calling to them to something, but it just seems so far beyond their ability?
There is an amazing book by Bruce Wilkinson called The Dream Giver. And it talks about the gifts that God has given us. And that is an amazing book to start with, because it talks about the emotional roller coaster of people that will rise against you and tell you not to do it, and it's usually the people closest to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They just want you to be safe. They want you to be sound. But God will keep pulling on you to do it. So until you listen, He's going to keep pulling at you to do it. So that's an amazing book to read. The other thing I would tell people, that if they really feel like something's on your heart, especially entrepreneurship, is to go talk to somebody about it. A lot of people tell their family and friends, hey, I got a great idea, and then it stops there.
Yeah.
So as a family or friend of somebody, if they tell you that, get them to a resource that can help them flush out if they really do have a business. And there's a ton of free resources. I mean, every single state has small business development centers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a free resource provided by the government to actually help you through that process. I think the biggest piece is just that life continues to be messy.
Yeah.
So, you know, listening to God and trusting in Him is going to be the biggest piece of advice I have, because the good comes and it feels great, but the lows also come and they feel terrible. But that doesn't mean that he's abandoned you in the process.
Christina's business has continued to grow, and she'll be the first to tell you, following God doesn't mean a bed of roses. Highs, like being on Cupcake Wars, a dream for any new cupcake business, come right alongside devastating lows, like her mother's stroke. She says, even when we follow God on an adventure, and maybe especially when we follow God on an adventure, life, with all its good and bad, goes on. And when the lows happen, it doesn't mean you missed God, that you misheard him. Thanks so much to Christina for sharing her story with us. If you'd like to learn more about her, head to cremcupcake.com. And if you'd like to see Christina on Cupcake Wars, it's Season 8, Episode 13 on Food Network. I'm so grateful to all the folks who make Epic possible. Thanks to Jason Rackow and Ted Ross for help with production, and to Stefan Johnson for our show's theme song. I'm your host, Meredith Foster. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.